Welcome into Locked On Phillies. The Phils go for their eighth straight win tonight against the Arizona Diamondbacks. We'll look at the players of interest on Arizona's side. We'll talk about the Phils standing in the National League playoff race. And we have a little stepping off in our final segment. A packed show on today's Locked On Phillies.
You are Locked On Phillies, your daily Philadelphia Phillies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, this is Locked On Phillies. I'm your host, Connor Thomas. Been talking Phils baseball for years over on 97.5 The Fanatic on the radio. Now, happy to be here with you as your host of Locked On Phillies. I want to thank you for making Locked On Phillies your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by a brand new sponsor of ours, Sports Card Investor. They're awesome. You can download the Sports Card Investor app today. It's available for free in the Google Play and Apple app stores, or go to sportscardinvestor.com/lockedon for all of your sports card collecting, purchasing, selling needs. Well, the Philadelphia Phillies are as hot as any team in baseball right now. They've won seven straight games, six straight under new manager Rob Thomson, and tonight they start a series with the Arizona Diamondbacks looking for their third sweep in a row. You serious? You can see Mr. Broom back there in the corner. If you're watching on YouTube, he's hanging out until the Phillies don't sweep a series. Who knows? They may never lose again. Okay, well, slow our roll a little bit, but it's a favorable matchup in this series at home against the Arizona Diamondbacks tonight. Let's start by taking a peek at that Diamondbacks team and see who we should be worried about when it comes to, well, their hitters and the pitchers that we'll see. We already talked about, well, two of the three starting pitchers in yesterday's episode. The third one, well, still unnamed for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Not sure who's going to get the series ender, but let's start with the team batting leaders for the Arizona Diamondbacks to see who we have to look out for. Now, leading the team in batting average is Ketel Marte, who's batting .272 on the year. He doesn't really have power numbers. He's not really going to beat you with power. He's a second baseman. Middle infielders don't normally do that. Only four homers and 20 RBIs for the Arizona Diamondbacks. But you look at the batting average of .272, the on-base percentage of .342, and this is a guy who will be at the top of the lineup or near the top of the lineup and will take care of business for the Diamondbacks day in and day out. He's the guy that you want to avoid letting beat you in key spots where this team needs a key hit. Now, you look at some other guys who are playing a significant amount of time, though. Dalton Varsho, who's been a utility guy for the Diamondbacks, kind of shifts around a little bit. Another infield-type guy, infield, outfield, really everywhere for them. He's batting .238. That's the next highest average on the Diamondbacks team. He's doing that with a .310 on base percentage. Now, he does have eight home runs. He gives you a little bit more pop there, but you're not really seeing anything crazy from him. David Peralta's batting .232. He also has eight home runs, 25 RBIs. But you look at this. Look at some of the RBI and homer numbers. Four for Ketel Marte. Eight for Varsho. Eight for Peralta. Geraldo Perdomo, he's got one homer on the year. Pavin Smith's got eight. Like, these are not bad numbers. But when you look at Kyle Schwarber and Bryce Harper, both with 15, oh, man, those are the guys that really have pop. The Diamondbacks only have one guy that's comparable as far as home runs to the Schwarber-Harper pairing, and that's Christian Walker, who's playing first base for them. Walker does have 15 home runs, but he's batting .200 even, not having a great year at the dish average-wise. You don't have to worry about him really all that much. Like, there's just not really that many bats on this team that are dangerous. They feel very similar to the Milwaukee Brewers offense. They might even be a little bit worse when you look at the names and the potential. Like, at least the guys who are struggling for the Brewers, Rowdy Tellez has ability. Christian Yelich, a former MVP. Guys like that. Hunter Renfroe, a guy you know can hit at the major league level. Some of these guys on the Diamondbacks, frankly, just not really all that talented when it comes to the plate. Now, let's just look at some of their team numbers and go ahead and see what they've got as far as their team statistics batting-wise. Let's see if I can get everything all squared away here. Their team totals, they're batting .216. Not good. .298, an on-base percentage below .300. Like, this is a team that Phillies pitchers should absolutely be able to dominate when it comes to their facing them The defensive matchup for the Phillies versus the offensive matchup for the Diamondbacks is what I mean to say. Now, does that carry over to the other side? Do the Phillies hitters also have an advantage? Well, let's look at some of the names for the Diamondbacks and see how they're doing, especially as far as the starters, because we know you're seeing Zach Gallen. We know you're seeing Madison Bumgarner. Now, Humberto Castellanos is on the 15-day IL. Will he be back in time for the third game of the series? Will he make that start? I don't know who's going to make that start. No one's listed for the Diamondbacks. We don't know. We'll have to see. It could be a bullpen game. You could see someone called up from the minors, just looking to see about starts, if anyone else has any. And really, the only other guys who have started games for this team, Caleb Smith has one start, and Tyler Gilbert has four appearances, three games started, made some spot starts earlier in the year for the Major League club. But if you see one of those guys, take your chances against any of them. Gilbert's got a 7.88 ERA. Caleb Smith has a 5.68 ERA. No, neither of those are good options. The real two guys we're going to focus on are Madison Bumgarner and Zach Gallen. Gallen goes tonight. He's got a 2.4 ERA. It's the best of any starter on this team. He's the guy to look out for. This is the guy that if the Diamondbacks are going to steal a game, they're going to do it with him. You take a look, right-handed pitcher, good arm, 56 and a third innings pitched already this year. And in those 56 and a third, well, he's got 53 strikeouts. He's striking out about a man per inning. Walks, he's only got 15. It's the second lowest total of any starter. The only one lower is Castellanos, Humberto Castellanos, not Nick Castellanos. No relation there, I believe. And he's on the IL right now, so it's just a number of innings. That's 12 less innings than Gallen. So Gallen's their guy. He's got a below one whip, and he's allowing less than one base runner per inning. The Phils are going to have to win this game probably by a low run total. Now, I said that in the Milwaukee Brewers series, and, well, they absolutely worked Milwaukee two out of the three games as far as getting runners on base, getting runs across, 8 runs and 10 runs in 2 games in that series. So it's possible they break through, but you look at Gallen the first one and then Bumgarner the second game, even though he's 32 and on the back end, and we talked about this a little bit in yesterday's episode. Well, Bumgarner's got a 3.64 ERA so far this year through 12 starts. He's got a, let's look at the record, 2-5 record though. So he hasn't really gotten a lot of help from his team. He's allowed 55 hits. He's only struck out. Let me look over here. Sorry, my eye's still a little bit messed up. You remember I had my sunglasses on last episode if you were watching. Still fighting through an eye infection. He's got only 41 strikeouts, so 12 less than what Gallen's working with in 3 more innings. So he's not the strikeout pitcher that he used to be in his heyday with the Giants. And he's walked 5 more batters. So, yeah, Bumgarner's susceptible to a loss. You can beat Bumgarner. Gallen is just – Gallen's their ace. He's their guy. That's the one when you look at this team – you try to avoid him, and unfortunately the Phillies don't this series. So, hey, you're going to have to beat a good pitcher and a guy who knows how to be a veteran pitcher in Major League Baseball who still has some good starts in him. So the challenge of this series is going to weigh strongly on the Philadelphia Phillies offense. The good news, the Philadelphia Phillies offense, have they been – I'm trying to think if I want to call them the strength of this team over the winning streak because both sides have been good. The offense has been good. The pitching has been good. The bullpen has been better. Not – I don't know if I want to call them good, but they've been better. Good enough that you can win 8 games or 7 games in a row. Hopefully 8 games after tonight. But it's just interesting. When you look at this Phillies team and how they match up against some of these teams they're playing, well, we're hitting a stretch of the season where they match up very well against basically every team they play. They have the second easiest schedule in the National League the rest of the way. So these are the matchups that you're going to be looking at throughout the summer. And hopefully it means an extended run for the Philadelphia Phillies. That's what we're looking at. And I talked about the layout in the National League right there, the strength of schedule. Well, in the next segment, we're going to break down what's going on in the standings. We're going to take a look at the division, even though I said I think the division is out of reach, and I still do. We're also going to take a look at the wild card race. Look at the teams the Phils are trying to chase down, and how realistic is it that they do that, and how high could they really be seeded? Because right now, we're looking at a team that's red hot, it clearly looks like they have the ability to be a playoff team. What is their peak? We're going to talk about it next on today's episode of Locked On Phillies. All right, I told you about our brand new sponsor we have, who is our title sponsor who brought you this show today. Well, let me tell you a little bit more about Sports Card Investor. I want to welcome you to the world of sports cards, but it's reimagined. It's 2022, folks, right? That's the year. I lose track of the years now. But it's 2022. We're in the modern era, the technology age. You can do all kinds of cool stuff on your phone, on your laptop, through apps that you had to do physically in past days. But doesn't it bring you back? I think back to going to like Target or Walmart or one of those places and seeing the cards sitting there on the shelf right by the checkout line. You got the baseball cards. You got not really basketball cards as much, but you had the football cards. I used to get huge packs of those things for Christmas, open them up, see how many Eagles or Phillies or Sixers or Flyers players I'd had because I was always a big Philly sports fan, see who my favorite players, because I had favorite players on other teams. Kids always do. You might still, as an adult, have favorite players on other teams, and just ripping through those packs and seeing who I got is awesome. But now, well, there's a whole industry built around sports cards. There always kind of was, but as a kid, you're not buying or selling cards. You might have like traded with your brother or sister. You might have traded with some of your friends from school. But with the Sports Card Investor app, you can do all of this in a sleek new way through their app. It's fun. It's authentic. And listen, it's right up all of our alleys because we love sports. Let me tell you a little bit about it. First of all, it's completely free. You can easily browse over 630,000 cards. There's so many things out there. You look at the Phillies right now. Now, the guy who actually cuts my hair, my barber, who I think does a pretty good job. I didn't really brush my hair all that well today. Gave me a nice shape up here. He's a big sports card guy. He's been telling me about it for a while and saying I need to get into it. And what he does is he takes his cards and he buys guys who are on the rise. Like you look at like a Bryson Stott who's hit 3 home runs recently since he got brought back up and put back into the lineup consistently. You have a Bryson Stott rookie card or you can find one on Sports Card Investor, man, go ahead and you can sell that thing. You can hang on to it for a couple years until he becomes the starting shortstop for the Phillies. It becomes a star in Major League Baseball. You can get it. Maybe a breakout star. You can look at someone who's really hot recently. Now, Bryce Harper isn't a breakout star, but having a Bryce Harper card, that's awesome. And it's not just for selling. You can hang on to these as nostalgic pieces that you just like to have as memorabilia. It's awesome to buy, sell, trade sports cards with other people, like-minded sports fans, your friends, anything. You can even make some good money doing it. So download the Sports Card Investor app today. It's available for free in the Google Play and Apple App Stores, or go to sportscardinvestor.com/lockedon. All right, we're going to take a look at where the Philadelphia Phillies stand in Major League standings, both in the National League Wild Card race and in their division in the NL East, to see where the playoff push is turned, even though it's still June, after this 7-game win streak for the Phillies. First, though, we have an important favor to ask you. We put together a survey so we can learn more about listeners like you and make your favorite podcasts even better. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and don't like about your Locked On podcast, your favorite ones like Locked On Phillies. So go to lockedonpodcast.com/survey right now to get started. It won't take very long, and everyone that completes the survey can qualify for a chance to win one of 10 $100 Ticketmaster gift cards. To take our audience survey, go to lockedonpodcast.com/survey. Thank you, as always, for your help. Okay, let's start with the Philadelphia Phillies standing in the National League wildcard race, because I've told you multiple times, this Mets team is very good. I think the division is already just out of the question. That's just my personal feeling. But we'll look at the National League wildcard and see, well, where do the Phillies stand after their winning streak? Well, right now, the two teams that are currently leading the wildcard, well, got to talk about three teams because there's a third wild card spot, but there's a tie down there. We'll look at the top two real quick before you get into that situation. The San Diego Padres and the St. Louis Cardinals are both firmly in when it comes to the wild card race. If the season ended today, the Padres at 35-22 are 4.5 games up on the team in the last wild card spot, or the team vying for the last wild card spot, rather, I should say. The Padres are a really good team. They're probably a playoff team. Either them or the San Francisco Giants, or both, are going to be playoff teams. But there absolutely is going to be a second team out of the National League West that makes it in. That division is too talented not to make it. The St. Louis Cardinals, well, they might end up winning the NL Central if the Brewers continue going how they're going. The Brewers currently still in first in the NL Central, but were just swept by the Phillies. The offense is absolutely stagnant for them. They're having some injury issues with starting pitching as well. But right now, St. Louis, as it stands, They're a game up on the third and final wild card spot. They're 32 and 26. So those are the top two teams that the Phillies are chasing right now. Then for the third wild card spot, well, there's two teams tied. San Francisco has a 30 and 26 record, a 536 win percentage, which means right now they're technically, I believe they would have the tiebreaker if the season ended today. And they are tied with the Atlanta Braves as far as games, even though there's a slight 0.002 win percentage because San Francisco's 30 and 26. And no, I don't know what this is showing. Atlanta's 31 and 27. So even though they've got two games more, oh, yeah, San Francisco's a game up. I'm not a big math guy. It's because San Francisco has played two less games. So they would technically have the better winning percentage, which is why they have the tiebreaker right now. But, of course, when everything's all said and done, all teams will have 162 played. But those are the two teams that the Phillies are really chasing right now. And the Giants lost yesterday to the Colorado Rockies. The Atlanta Braves, unfortunately, they won yesterday against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Only 3-1, though. The Braves' offense has been a little bit iffy lately. The Phils are next, though. They are the second team out. Even though there's two teams tied for third, you got to count one of them as the fourth place team. The Phils are in fifth place when it comes to the wild card race. Top three get in. They're only 2.5 games back of San Francisco and Atlanta, though. The Phils are at 28 and 29. And let's look at some of these numbers compared to 500. The Braves, right now, well, they'd be tied for in or in, depending on the tiebreaker, and they're only 4 games over 500. The Giants, 4 games over 500, they're in. The Cardinals, 6 games over 500, they're in. The Padres are well up. They're 13 games over 500. That's why they're 4.5 games up on even the third-place team, and they're 6.5 or 7 probably really on the Philadelphia Phillies. But you look at what the Phillies would have to do. Let's say it stays the same, and they have to be about 4 to 5 games over 500 to get in. Well, 500 is 81 and 81. So they'd have to be not 82, not 83, but 83. You remember you drop down on every one of those. So they could go 82 and 80. I'm talking through this for myself because I'm bad at math. They could go 82 and 80. They could go 83 and 79. And that would be 4 games over. They could go 84 and 78. And it looks like right now they'd be in. 84 and 78 would be 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84. That'd be 6 games over 500. So, hey, you look at it. It's not that unrealistic for this Phils team to win 84 games, looking how it finishes out. The wild card is absolutely in reach. In fact, I'd say it's almost expected that the wild card is in play as the Phillies come down the stretch at the end, considering how easy their schedule is. I don't think it's crazy whatsoever to say that the Phillies have a shot at the NL wild card. Just taking a peek into the division. So normally when you win 8 games straight, you make up a lot of ground on the people ahead of you in the division, right? Not necessarily. The Mets are still 38 and 21, 17 games over 500, 9 games up on the Phillies. This is why I said the division is unrealistic. 9 games back after winning 7 straight? It's just, it's preposterous. The Mets are nearly uncatchable, especially we talked about the Mets having an easier strength of schedule than even the Phillies, who have the second easiest strength of schedule in the National League. Well, the first easiest goes to the New York Mets. They're going to be so hard to catch. Their run differential 64. That's even 30 more than the Phillies, who tear the cover off the ball. It's just not realistic. The real guys are trying to chase down the division. Second place in the NL East will probably get you in the playoffs by wild card. And the Braves are only 2.5 games up on the Philadelphia Phillies right now. Hey, they're within striking distance. Got plenty of games left in Atlanta. They're a susceptible team. You're going to see them a bunch. You can make up games on them. Those are the big series coming up, are the ones you play against the Atlanta Braves. And, of course, keep an eye on what's going on with the San Francisco Giants out west. But that's where we stand in the standings, just to take stock of where the Phillies are playoff-wise, heading into what hopefully could be their 8th straight win. Now it's time for stepping off. It's been a fun week of Phillies baseball, a fun 7 games worth. But we still have to step off, take a deep breath, collect ourselves, and get ready to jump back in to another stretch of hopefully fun baseball game. Stepping off is a segment where we step outside the lines of baseball and we talk about something a little bit off the wall, a little bit wonky, if you will, to go ahead and take just a little bit of a break from the analytics talk of baseball, what's going on in between the lines, the numbers, stuff like that. Got something fun for you. That'll wrap up our show coming up next. First, though, let me tell you about LinkedIn. So the sun's coming back out. The small businesses are back in business, and LinkedIn Jobs makes it easier to grow your team. It's a great time to hire people. A lot of people getting back into the job market right now, and you can help find, well, you don't need the help. LinkedIn will help you find the people you want to interview faster and for free. You can create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. You add the hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile, spread the news that you're hiring. You have simple tools like screening questions that make it easy to focus on the candidates that fit what you're looking for and are looking for the job that you're offering. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. It's an awesome tool to bring new hirees into your business. So LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. I don't know if you know this. Every week, nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn. 40 million people that can be looking at your job post. So post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnMLB. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnMLB to post your job totally for free. Terms and conditions do apply. I also want to tell you about our friends over at Built Bar. Don't you love a chewy, chocolatey brownie? How about a caramel brownie? Doesn't that sound even better with a little caramel swirl on top? It's so good. Well, what if I told you you can have all of that? Plus 17 grams of protein? Well, you're in luck today. Caramel brownie bars are available at Built.com right now. Hurry up before they run out, because a lot of people are going to want to get in on this. They taste like dessert, but you get 130 calories and 17 grams of protein, only 4 grams of sugar. Great numbers to help you stay in shape or get in shape for summer. And the best part, they're covered with 100% real chocolate, just like all Built bars are. With Built, you don't have to sacrifice tasty for healthy. You can have both. And all of Built Bar's protein is collagen protein, so your body absorbs it more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. There are a million reasons to try Built Bar. You don't need another one, but just because they want you to, they created the caramel brownie that'll rock your world. So go and try that out. Check out Built.com to get your caramel brownie bars or any of your other favorite Built Bars. If you use promo code LOCK15, you can get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, it's that time of year, folks. It's All-Star season in Major League Baseball. That's what we're doing in stepping off, stepping outside the lines. And I want to talk real quick about the All-Stars on this team, or who should be All-Stars for the Philadelphia Phillies. Let's break it down and go through the guys and see, well, who exactly you would vote for when it comes to the Philadelphia Phillies' potential All-Stars. Let's go around the diamond. We'll start at catcher. We'll go through the position players, and then we'll do the starters and relievers. I'm going to give you a quick hint. There's no relievers that I think should be an All-Star so far. Sir Anthony Dominguez is probably the only one who's pitched well enough to potentially deserve it. He doesn't have enough innings really to warrant that honor so far. No fault of his, just working back from an injury. But let's start at catcher. JT Realmuto, should he be an All-Star, yes or no? I vote yes. As far as catchers are concerned, yeah, well, he's had a down year for himself, but he's always going to be one of the better defensive catchers in baseball. He's solid enough offensively to warrant it. I think he should get votes and be in as a catcher, maybe not as a starter, but as an All-Star reserve, be the backup catcher for the National League. He's just so good defensively. He has like all of the top pop times in all of baseball. I'm definitely saying yes to JT Realmuto as an All-Star. First base, Rhys Hoskins, unfortunately not. Hasn't done enough at the plate. We know he doesn't really give you enough defensively. No All-Star there for Rhys Hoskins. Second base, Gene Segura is hurt right now. Doesn't have enough time. Can't give it to Gene Segura. Can't give it to Johan Camargo. Not enough time. Can't give it to, Nick Maton also has the shoulder injury, but not enough time. Bryson Stott is kind of bounced around too much. Not enough time. No second baseman on this team is going to get an All-Star nod. And for that matter, no shortstop either. Didi missed too much time. Stott, not enough time. Can't get it done. Third base, Alec Bohm. Alec Bohm's had a nice season. Not an All-Star season, unfortunately, so I can't give him that nod, and the defense doesn't help him. That'll almost no doubt be Nolan Arenado that'll play third base for the NL All-Star team. But, Bohm's had a nice year, just not an All-Star year. Right now, we have one All-Star, it's JT Realmuto. Let's go to left field. Kyle Schwarber, All-Star? he's starting to hit the ball a little bit better. We'll see what he does over the next month, because if he stays this hot in June and he ends the month with like a 10 home run month, I could see him being an all-star reserve out there in left field, being one of the outfielder guys. Because, you know, they just vote outfield. They don't vote by like specific left field, center field, right field positions. Possibly. I'm putting him at like 50-50 right now. So he gets a maybe. Going to center, Moniak won't. Odubel Herrera won't. Roman Quinn won't. No center fielder on this team is going to be an all-star. Right field, let's just call it Nick Castellanos for the time being, even though he shifted around a lot. No, he's been underachieving a little bit. And I'm not worried about Nick Castellanos. Just not going to repeat his all-star performance that won him all-star starter rights last year in Cincinnati. Could he get one of those situations where it's like, well, his name's associated with being good, so he sneaks in as a reserve? Possible. But right now I'm looking at JT, yes. Kyle Schwarber, maybe. Everyone else, a no, until we get to the DH. Bryce Harper's absolutely an all-star. He's one of the best players in baseball. I don't know what more I need to tell you about him. He's amazing. So those are the two, maybe three all-stars from the position players. And I think there are two starters that deserve all-star nods for the Phillies, that being Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola as well. I think Nola is an all-star this year. The Phillies could have four or five all-stars this year if the voting goes their way. It's a talented roster. It just hadn't come together yet. So make sure you get out there. You can start voting for all-stars. Get those early votes in for all of your favorite Phillies players. Let's try and sweep it. Hey, maybe nine starters will be Phillies players. They won't be, but get your votes in and we'll try and make it happen, because some of these guys certainly deserve to be all-stars. That's all I got for you for stepping off. It's fun to like just take a break, step outside the line, step off the rubber, take a deep breath, and collect ourselves before we have to get ready for this next stretch of Phillies baseball. But you know what? Stepping off feels almost like I don't want to call it a distraction, but when they're playing so well, you don't really have to take a break. Every day's a break when the Phillies win like this. So that's just wonderful to be able to do that as well and take a second away from the game. But it's definitely a fun little part of every middle of the week show. That's all I've got for you today. I just want to tell you about one more thing, and I want to thank you as always for making Locked On Phillies your first listen every day. But I want you to check out stuff on the NBA draft. The first picks of the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft have been made. Search now for Ultimate NBA Mock Draft and get over 50 insiders, the Odyssey Sports experts, the draft experts of Locked On NBA Big Board. The 5-episode Ultimate NBA Mock Draft is underway. So make Ultimate NBA Mock Draft your second listen today. It's available wherever you get your podcast. Let's get ready for another fun Philly series against the Diamondbacks, this one at home. Hopefully they can keep it going. We'll see how far the streak can go. And I will talk to you all tomorrow.